Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Well, when you guys have Baldy on, you guys sit and listen to the nuance. If you ask him why Brock isn't playing well, he'll give you the same reasons Vontae gave you. Offensive line, running game, receivers aren't helping, guys are dropping balls, all those things. Why the team isn't winning, they can't stop the run, they're not getting a pass rush. All these things, yes, of course, it all trickles up to the quarterback because he's the head of the squad. But unfortunately, when the game is built, you got to pay attention to those other factors. Why was Brady not any good his last year in New England, and everybody thought he was washed? Because the team was trashola. He went to Tampa, got a really good squad around him. They brought in a bunch of dudes from everywhere else. They brought in Gronk. They brought in a bunch of talent, brought a bunch of defense. They built that squad up around Brady because they wanted to play with Brady. They won. They beat Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Was Mahomes washed in the Super Bowl? No. His offensive line, they announced right before the kickoff and ruined my parlay that they were all gone, so the Chiefs looked like trash. Nobody came out of that game saying Mahomes was no good. He just looked terrible in the offensive line. This year, he's not having his best year. Everybody knows he's not having a good year. His defense is why they're in position to win games at the end where he can make those plays at the end. He hasn't had a good running game. He's got Kelce and a couple of receivers that were out most of the year. It's nuanced. So I appreciate Bonte for not just saying, yeah, get Brock out of here. He's struggling. Yes, he's struggling, but there's reasons why he's struggling. Also, Bonte has spoken on the bad throws. He's not just saying everybody else and everything else. He's given that. I wish folks would listen to Bonte. Pay attention to what Baldy says when he's not on the line. Stop forgetting that he told us why Brock's having a tough year. And if I can give you a quick little Ricky Henderson story, because I really do appreciate the opportunity if I can. I was about 7 in the early 80s when Ricky was, with the A's. And guys like that remind me why I liked sports in the first place when I was a kid just sitting on the couch watching guys play and didn't grow up having to argue about this stuff every day. It sucks that all we do is argue about sports. When we were kids, we just wanted to watch these dudes ball. I used to mimic and over-exaggerate Ricky's batting stance where he'd squat real low and stick that leg way out. I would exaggerate, take stupid leadoffs from the first base with my legs spread open and my fingers wiggling between my legs like Ricky would do and get tagged out because I was slow. But sports was just so dope when all we cared about was the game. We didn't have to get older and get mad at everybody and want to fire people for not, making plays for us. We're going to pay Brock an upgrade and then try to bring in a quarterback to replace him. That just sounds so backwards. Y'all have a good day.
Thanks for the call, Wirt. Thanks for the call. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMT FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. So, Niner fans, 888-957-9570. Not only what is your big takeaway from yesterday, but what is your big takeaway for the season? And if you want to focus on a quarterback position, that's fine. What is your assessment of Brock Purdy? Are we done with him? Are we ready to move on? Are you ready to pay him? How you feeling about Brock?
Heading into this year, what were some of your big storylines? Just what
I don't,
the whole team.
I don't even remember, man. Oh, Nick Sorensen was a storyline to me.
Okay.
Even though nobody wanted to touch it, because I said, all right, now you got rid of Steve Wilkes, yeah, and you got a first-time defensive coordinator. How's that going to play out? Nick Bosa had a full training camp. What is he going to look like? Will Hufanga be back? How long will Dre Greenlaw be out?
There wasn't an element of...
Oh, well, I'm getting there. And then Brock, obviously, had to ball out. And we wanted to see Brock take another level and be able to do some things that we see from the Golden Four, Burrow, Allen. And we haven't seen that. We have not seen that. And he's not one of those Golden Four guys. We've seen him on the field next to Lamar Jackson. We've seen him on the field next to Josh Allen. We've seen him on the field next to Mahomes twice. We've seen him on the field next to Burrow. And each time he got thoroughly outplayed by those Golden Four. So that conversation, Brock Purdy's not in that conversation. Cool, I know that. But can he function at a high level at times and move the offense? Yards hasn't been a problem. They've gotten to the red zone. They haven't scored touchdowns. That's a problem on Brock, no doubt. But it's also a byproduct of not having your red zone ace in Christian McCaffrey. It's also having Deebo Samuel not effectively able to get open. It's also not having Brandon Ayuk, who tore up his knee and wasn't in shape anyway. So those are all the storylines there. And then, obviously, the Ayuk and Trent Williams situation hijacked everything.
Yeah.
Hijacked everything.
Yeah, because I think, like, the CMC, like, can CMC replicate what he did the year prior? Can Brock replicate what he did the year prior? Like, both of those are, like, unequivocal no's, you know? And,
right.
And, yeah, there's reasons and stuff on why, but, like, I think this was a big year of, like, it's one thing to do it for a full season. It's another to do it for multiple seasons in a row. And I think that's what separates the in any sports, what separates the truly great players. And, you know, whether it's C.J. Stroud, whether it's Brock Purdy, whomever, you know, RG3 had this conversation at one point, like, you can have a singular year, and we'll have the same conversation about Sam Darnold heading into next year, no matter where he goes. Can he do it again? Right? And so, like, he's fallen short.
No, he has fallen short, but also all of the greatest of the greats. And when I compare Brock to the greatest of the greats, I'm not. I'm really not. I'm not trying to do that at all. But all of the greats have had down years. They have down years. It happens.
Yeah, but usually they stack, happens. You know, like, because it's so such a small sample size. Right. Usually you get five or six seasons under their belt and
get
a feel for them.
He had a season and a half. He led them to two back-to-back NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl. Came in as a third-string quarterback. Trey gets hurt. Jimmy gets hurt. He takes over, and we're thinking, I was like, damn, this season's over.
Yeah, of course.
And he helped keep it alive. And he missed Deebo for a good stretch of those games in the second and that first. So when we say just one season, I look at a season and a half. Last year was his first full season, and that was coming off of Tommy John, where we didn't even know if he was going to play in week one in Pittsburgh, and he did. So I like Brock's moxie. I like his composure. I don't think he's lost a lot of confidence. I think he's tried too hard, and that's affected his decision-making, and at times in-game confidence in terms of where to throw the ball to. But as a player himself, I still believe Brock Purdy believes that he can play at a high level. I do. I think the guy's fine. I think he's built for this. It's Steve Wilkes. We're Steve Wilkes. I'm sort of built for this. I think Brock is built for this.
There's two things that I don't have the answer to. Like, how much do teams, like, really know what he likes to do now? Because they've got, you know, all the footage on him. And then, like, what is going on with the arm elbow? What is going on? Like, I thought Tua had a little more zip than him with the arm yesterday. And I know it's never going to be something he hangs his hat on, Purdy, like arm strength. It's just not there. Not driving the ball. He could drive it a little better before. It feels like there's something up with it. And I want to know what's going on there.
Philip in San Jose, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's up, Philip?
So, I can tell you exactly what's wrong with the Niners. Like, the way, if you look at other teams like Philly, for example, they have, Hurts, Saquon, and they have AJ out there. You know, they have a wide receiver. They have three people they can depend on. If one of them's out, they fall apart. You know, the way our system is built, we have like five or six guys on defense that are really important, five or six guys on offense. You know, on offense, we have Trent, CMC, IU, Deebo, Kittle, Kyle. One, maybe two go out, we can still survive with our defense intact. Same thing with defense. We have Bosa, Hargrave, Greenlaw, Warner, Ward, Hufanga. One or two go out, we can kind of still survive. But when you have one or two on offense and one or two on defense, we're not made to survive like that. We depend on these five or six guys on offense, these five or six guys on defense, and that's the way the system is built. And it's built good. You see, last year, we entered the playoffs. Most of us were healthy. We had a good run. We were even able to come back. But right now, I mean, I think just the wear and tear of every year making the playoffs and just them being out. If there's too many people out right now, I think they just started the season not even being able to do a scrimmage because they were too injured. I just think the way the system's built, there's too many people hurt. We depend on these guys.
As in and financially top heavy?
Yeah, but that's the thing. They need to redo that. They need to fix. I mean, if they could talk to Brock hey, how about you get $40 million, you know, and just restructure it. You know, they're really good at restructuring guys' contracts. Yeah. They can figure this out. I think if they can keep everyone, let them rest. Okay, I am so thankful. I love my Niners. I'm a real Niner fan, the highs and lows. But they not making the playoffs is a blessing. Everyone can rest. You can come back, run it back with everyone. They need to re-sign Greenlaw and Hufanga. They need to keep them. You've seen when Hufanga and Greenlaw were on the field the first half of last week. They were incredible.
No, you're right, Philip. You're right, but I do think they need to tinker with some things here. They need to tinker with a couple things. Real quick, let's get to RJ and Fairfield, and then we'll break. RJ, what's happening?
I'm with Shasky. Shasky, you are my spirit animal today. I mean, Bonte, every play is not going to be perfect. I feel like you're saying that, you know, he needs
to line. You guys act like
every play
should be perfect. What about me?
But you make it seem like it's every play got to be perfect for Brock Purdy, and every play is not. You know, you want a quarterback that could, despite the losses on the offense and despite injuries and stuff, he still makes plays. His decision making is still a factor, and I'm with Shasky, man. I think we do have to find a backup quarterback to Brock Purdy, at least have some competition back there. Cause,
so hold on, RJ. I want to get this straight. Because I'm not opposed to having – I don't like the quarterback room with Josh Dobbs and Brandon Allen. I never said I did like that. And so I don't know where that's coming from, number one. And number two, sounds like you want to replace Brock Purdy.
I want a backup plan to Brock Purdy. I mean, I hope he gets a Baker Mayfield contract. I think $33 million for, you know. But I do want to – I'll pick up Kirk Cousins right now to go to the offseason, but I also want to – I would rather draft first in the second round. That's what I want. But I'm with Shasky, man.
All right.
They have just so many holes, it's so hard to take one of their valuable draft picks and in the first, like, two rounds and use it on a quarterback. Like, that just – that I don't see happening.
RJ, just miserable, man. Sacramento 0-4 in their five-game homestand.
And De'Aaron Fox might want out.
Yeah, and they're getting booed off the floor.
Could the Warriors? No, I'm just teasing.
I would take Keegan Murray, though. If they're not using Keegan Murray, they want to trade Keegan Murray down here. I wouldn't mind that. All right. More of your phone calls coming up. Or if your calls, they're all jacked up. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll get to everybody. Everybody, you're going to get on the airways. We've got 60 seconds of celebrity. Quick thoughts on the Dubs. Quick thoughts on what's going on with the Giants. All that stuff. NCAA playoffs. A lot going on here. Last segment, man. What a show. What a show. That's brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
This is Oreo Cookie from Oakland, California, and it's plain to see you can't change me because I'm going to be a roaster for life.
Our rookie roaster of the year. Rookie roaster of the year, Oreo Cookie, man. It was a blast to see him out there. He was so happy, man. His Jose Canseco jersey.
Sick jersey.
He was one of my favorites, man. Oreo Cookie, good to meet you at the Doobie Awards this past Friday. And speaking of Doobie, Shasky, oh, wait, before I get to him, because I know what he's going to do, so just sit back and let him brag about a game that nobody care about. But tune in for Warriors Live today, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. Warriors and Pacers tonight. Warriors with a big win on Saturday. 8 of their next 9 at Chase Center.
Thank God.
Get out of the box. Stack some wins. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
I was waiting for the standings to update after the game. I was like, get me the 15. I thought they were at 14. They should be at 15. Why are they not at 15? And then you guys finally showed the graphic, and I was like, thank God.
The box. Ugh. The box. The juice box is for everybody. Right now, the Warriors 7th in the West. But it could be worse. You could be the Sacramento Kings.
They needed that win for their soul so bad. Curry was missing shots in the first half, and I'm like, oh, this isn't looking good.
Well,
and then he finally took over in the end.
What was worrisome is that Minnesota went 7 minutes and 38 seconds without a basket. And you hear it in Fitz's voice, and you heard it in Fitz's voice. And I was like, oh, boy, they're going to blow this game. They're up 21. It should have been a 31.
How about when the drink or something spilled?
The drink spilled on courtside.
And then Pods is, like, yelling at the referee to stop the game, and they give a technical to Pods only to rescind it.
No, it was awful.
And then I don't know if you saw the Anthony Edwards quote after the game.
Oh, I heard him. He blasted the referees, except the woman ref.
Yeah.
But he blasted the referees where he should be blasted Julius Randle for taking – Julius Randle's never met a shot he didn't like.
He goes to the free throw line so much.
Yeah, he's strong and burly, but from the field, he's 8 of 27 in his last two games against the Warriors, Julius Randle. 8 of 27 in the last two games.
You know
games.
What I call him?
What's that?
I call him bootleg Anthony Mason.
Ooh.
That's who he thinks he is. In his mind, that's who he thinks he is. Yeah. I loved Anthony Mason. he's bigger than Anthony Mason, but right. in terms of, like, he really thinks he's a factor.
He's not a factor on that team right now. They're struggling, but the Warriors are going to bust in the way. They'll take out Indiana, who blew out the Kings last night to go to one center. Again, the Kings are on a five-game. They got a five-game homestead. Five-game homestead. They lost the first four games on the homestead. They'll have to try. They'll try to salvage it the day after Christmas against the Pistons. Well, you can't sleep on. Don't sleep on those Pistons. All right. Let's go to Aaron in San Jose. Aaron, I love you, brother. Go ahead and brag. Go ahead and brag.
Oh, what?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. What's up, Aaron?
What's up, guys? Just want to start off with Friday was fantastic. Food was great. Company was great. And the hosts were amazing.
Oh, is this Big Aaron that was at the show?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what's up, buddy?
Not much. Just calling in to give you guys listen to the doom and gloom and say I told you so on Friday.
Well, this is your chance.
I picked the Dolphins to win.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know how to win that game.
Faithful.
No, it's just about picking games. Being objective helps.
Right. See, I'm not that kind of guy who's going to kick you with your down because it's bad enough that you're about to pay Brock Purdy $60 million a year. So there's nothing I can say that would just be any worse than that. You know, so I just wanted to call and say how great Friday was.
Well, explain why was it great, Aaron?
Oh, no, I mean, again, the food was fantastic. Shout out to the Laughing Monk. You know, the hosts were amazing. Shout out to my guys, the hardest working man in Bay Area showbiz, Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
Yeah,
I'm not kicking people when they're down, you know, again, because they can't get any worse than seeing that quarterback play and deciding to reset the quarterback market for that man.
If we remove the sarcasm from a non-49er fan, if they did, okay, give him some sort of a $55, $60 million per year contract, what would the outside opinion of the Niners doing that be?
Call him dumb. But what if it's just 55 for 1 year?
See, I would love that.
Yeah, I see. That's what people are missing in this conversation, I believe, when we talk about the money. Everybody just assumes that you're paid up 60 a year for the next 5 years. Nobody said it had to be a long-term deal. Again, know who your personnel is. And part of the personnel is Parag Marate. And Parag Marate has done a great job at constructing contracts over the years, whether it's a quarterback, running back, DN, whatever it is, on having opt-out clauses, incentive-based clauses, front-loaded money or whatnot. So it doesn't have to be a five-year deal. It doesn't have to be a three-year deal. What if you just pay them for 1 year while you get all the assets back and you get healthy? Like, that's where the conversation is kind of losing me here, which is why I refuse to talk money because, one, we don't know how much money he's going to get. Two, we don't know the years. And three, we don't know the structure of the contract. That's a lot to not know right now, and we're just assuming that he's going to get $60 million. No, I'm going to put my name on this since I haven't said it before, apparently. I don't believe Brock Purdy's worth $60 million a year. However, if you structure the contract in a way that can make it team-friendly and still pay the guy, you can still get away with doing that. This is the NFL, where contracts and salary caps are manipulated year in and year out.
They did lose two consecutive contracts, or three, actually, if you throw in Trent Williams, contract disputes in a row. Like, you got some guaranteed money in that fourth year that the Niners did not want to give up. That was a big sticking point, it sounded like. And Nick Bosa squeezed them for an extra, what, 10, 15, 20 million?
$20 million.
And then Trent got extra money as well. Like, so they have lost a bunch in a row. I don't know, man. Who knows? Who knows?
Let's go to, let's go to our roaster of the year, who stole the show on Friday at Laughing Monk Brewery in Sunnyvale.
Ryan
she stole the show. It's Tony and
Tony
Oakland.
Oakland.
BPA does a sniff, Tony. On the hierarchy of callers and roasters, BPA's not in the same stratosphere.
I'm not scared.
What's up, Tony?
Merry Christmas. First of all, Merry Christmas. And I must say that that party was like the field of dreams. You know, it's hard to be in the mix of something and get it. But when we left and we were roaming around, right? Oh, my God. The field of dreams feel was so big. That was the true church of sports. Did you feel that, Bonte?
Oh, I felt it all the way through as soon as you walked through the door. I felt it.
Well, and then not
I
felt me. It was everyone.
No, it
together.
Was everybody. Tony, 5:40 in the morning, I walked in and was like, oh, my gosh, this is a party. And everybody was feeling it. Outside, inside, it was a vibe, Tony. It was a, hey, you know what? Everybody was in the zone. That's why. They were all locked into the zone.
That was like, I mean, that was the field of dreams. It was unbelievable. The whole feel that place, it was like Jason and the Argonauts finding, getting, everyone had the golden fleece. You know, the golden fleece is when you feel it within. I just couldn't believe I was just roaming around with that feel all day and partying. You know, it's what Martin Luther King said, right? I have a dream. And his dream was that everyone could feel the golden fleece inside of them and then mirror it with everyone, and we'd all behave so nicely with each other because, you know, that's the whole thing. Then we're neighbors and brethren of each other because
right.
We can feel each other.
And you know what? A lot of people love Tony. My fiance couldn't wait to meet you. She thought you were the best thing about the show. She was so happy you won the Roaster of the Year. Honestly, it was unbelievable. And all my friends are saying, that's really Tony. It's really her. You're a legend, Tony. You know that?
Well, I don't know about that, but what I have to say is, living here, you know, I'm just up the street or two from Sam, but, you know, you don't get that feel. There were so many cool brethren in the room that, like, had the stuff that were cool, that were street smart. It was so nice for a change.
Hey, Tony, what was your favorite part of the day, not including you actually winning? Just what was your favorite part? Was it meeting someone? Was it an interaction? Was it seeing something? What was it?
Oh, yeah, there was a bunch of interactions. Unfortunately, I'm so bad with names. There was this one guy, he was so crushed by the 49ers not doing well, and then he was a poet, and he had such a pure soul, and then there was this Italian guy in the front of me, and he was so cool. He should be up there with you guys. I don't know his name, but he was saying, look, he says, you have it. You're nominated in these different categories, and then they haven't called your name, but this guy had the swag, right?
How about
he should have
Jacob?
Been on that show, and then there was Italian.
How about when Jacob did a love
Italian,
ballad rap?
And then they had this other guy whose name was Romano, right? And that's my grandmother's name.
Ray Romano?
Like surrounded by the paisans.
Was your boyfriend, was he surprised at how popular you were?
Yeah, he was. I mean...
You couldn't believe it, huh?
You know
He's
what?
A good sport.
He is a great sport.
He's
I love Steve. His name was Steve, right?
Yeah, Steve.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah, but you know what? Steve is used to this because we went to the same high school, and I was on the boys' team, right? And he was always sort of in love with me, and he always had to wait in line because there was sort of a line.
So he finally got his shot. He finally got his shot after high school, huh?
Yeah. So,
how many years did you hold out on him?
Through a marriage and whatever and whatever, but
whatever and whatever. That's like your yada yada yada, huh?
No, but I must say, the whole feel of that place was so divine, and to walk around with it, and everyone was such a true. And yeah, and there were other guys that came up to me that were so cool, you know. And they were one asked me if I was still playing tennis, and I just felt like saying, you know, bro, let's go out to the basketball court right now, and we'll play, and I'll take you down with my threes, right?
Were you surprised at the amount of love you received Friday?
I was in a way because you never know what, but you know, I knew I was sort of connecting and,
right.
Otherwise you wouldn't have, you know, you got a feel of the play of who's thinking what. You wouldn't have made me the Roaster of the Year if
exactly.
You thought I was going to be a dud.
Exactly. No doubt, Tony. Tony, it was good to meet you. Congratulations on your Roaster of the Year award. Put it in a safe
place. Thank you.
Place.
Well, wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
Bonte, I wanted to say about Shanahan. Uh-oh. You know, you guys have been talking trash all morning about Purdy and whatever. The weakest link, remember that show, The Weakest Link?
Oh, yes.
The weakest link is Shanahan. All these guys aren't at their best. You know, that's the, imagine Goff with Shanahan. He'd be like a total zero. He's with Campbell. What they got to do is they got to steal Campbell or one of the OCs that have the stuff. It's so, if they need help, I'll do it for free. I'll give them whatever they, I'll look at them and they can pick from it. But Shanahan is the weakest link. Look at him. He's in the snow. He's not wearing a hat. He has to face the press conference and he's wearing a hat. The dude does, and he doesn't have it, and everyone can feel it. People are fighting. It's falling apart. You know, all the people. I mean, it's not individual people. It's the people who bring the stuff. That's the glue. Shanahan is the weakest link.
All right, Tony. You have a good day. We have a good day.
We haven't even talked about it. Jacob in, is it Castro Valley?
Jacob at Castro
Our
Valley.
Freestyle of the year winner.
He freestyle of the year. A like love ballad rap. I thought he proposed to someone. Yeah.
Well, no, he said, I talked to him after the show. He said that that was the freestyle he used to propose to his now wife.
Gotcha.
Because he said, yeah, I got something I worked up here really quick. And he starts, you know, doing that ballad there. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, you know, we're talking about lie of the year. That's our first lie of the year right there. You did not just write that up. Yeah, I talked to him after. He's like, yeah, he wrote it a while ago. And
so not only that, it's okay to lie. That's what radio is. I mean, we lie all the time about things. And we over-exaggerate.
No, I just thought it was funny how he said, yeah, I just cooked this up right now. Where it's like, come on, man. We can all tell by how good this is. You not just cook it up
but,
right now.
But
he was pouring his soul, though.
No, he was great. I don't mean to crush him. He was awesome. He was
what
awesome.
I want to know is, his wife really say yes to him busting out a freestyle as a proposal?
Did I ever tell
like,
you?
How long was he on the knee freestyling for that proposal?
Well, I'm sure there's some choreography. I can't imagine he was like on his knee the entire time. Right, there had to be some choreography,
did he just bust
some
out the rap
music.
And then get out a knee? Or?
I never told you about my boy who got married and busted out a rap to his wife on the night of their wedding and in front of all the family.
Oh, boy.
This is a guy that you and I both know because I think you went to school with his wife, Johnny Maverick, a.k.a. Velas.
Oh, yeah, Brie Force.
Yeah, he busted out a rap on the wedding night. It was hilarious and cringe simultaneously, and he knows I love him dearly, but, like, it was...
So he rapped to her?
Yes, and he said some things in the rap that I probably wouldn't have said to her family.
Oh, boy.
But that was at the, like, wedding reception.
He... literally busted out a rap and everyone circled up around them and he was like flowing and rapping and she was the recipient of the rap. And Michelle, you gotta ask Michelle one day, she'll give you the like the play-by-play. It was hilarious.
That sounds pretty cool.
That is funny. Let's go to Doug at Berkeley. Doug, what's happening?
Hey guys, good morning. I want to say I listened to you guys last week, the Doobie Awards. I wish I could have been there. It sounded awesome. Absolutely amazing. So congratulations on that. Just I'm gonna be real quick. Everybody seems to be hanging on what Jed York said a while ago about, you know, Brock's going to reset the market. This season has been a blessing in disguise because, practically speaking, he's not going to reset the market. He knows it. His agent knows it. We know it. You don't have a great season every year. The team has had a down season. We'll be able to pay everybody appropriately because we're not going to pay him $60 million. We'll come back stronger next year. So, Christmas spirit, thanks for taking my call, and you guys have a great time.
You too. Happy holidays. Let's get to Verdici. Verdici in the EDH, El Dorado Hills, and then we got 60 seconds of celebrity and everything. What up, Verdici?
What's up, fellas? Sorry I couldn't make it Friday, man. I was still recovering from my sickness. But, man, I tell you, Tony has me running through walls, baby. I mean, I feel like she's like the Dan Campbell of this show. So, Tony, congratulations on being the roaster of the year. As far as the 49ers are concerned, she is totally right. This all falls on Shanahan. It's going to be about him being able to do whatever he has to do in the offseason to be able to look himself in the mirror and figure out what he needs to improve upon. And also get that energy to really inspire, to get these guys to run through the wall for you. It just seems stale. It seems stagnant. It seems like a lot of these coaches have passed him up on his creativity. It feels like the defensive coordinators are one step ahead of him. So I think that is the first part of this offseason. The second part is what you said, Bonte. They got to go ahead and rebuild in the trenches. It's that offensive line. I told you, how many times have I called and talked about McKivitz and Brendel? Those two got to go, and you got to approve them either through the draft or sign someone through free agency. Also, you got to get someone on the other end to support Bosa there. I love Floyd, but you know what? He's going to be one of those guys that are going to fill in as a rotation, but you got to get a stud on the end there. And then behind the linebackers, I mean, that's been that layer of the defense that's been the weak link there. So go ahead, start drafting some linebackers, some depth there, so that if a Greenlaw goes down, if a Warner goes down, you still have someone there that's competent and not where to the point where the defense is falling apart. So those are the areas where I would address. But you know what, Niner Faith, we're going to be stronger. I don't care if we even lose the last couple of games to get a better draft pick. I mean, that's where we're at right now, is go ahead, refresh, rebuild, get healthy. And Shanahan, baby, it's up to you. You got to step up and start inspiring these gentlemen, and let's get back to the Super Bowl next year. Have a good Monday, everybody.
You too, buddy. Merry Christmas. You know, Gross Matos, this is going to sound absurd. They could have used him at the beginning part of the year. Just as a rotational piece. Like, I know, it sounds, it's a ridiculous sentence.
Chris Calcerra could coach these guys up.
Like,
there's no doubt.
He would have been needed if they could have used, like 5-6 weeks?
Yeah, he was out for a minute.
Yeah, they could have used him. The linebacker thing is interesting. Like, Baldy said, like, when your linebackers play fast, it feels like your whole team speed is elevated. Mm-hmm. I would argue running back and linebacker, because, like, A-Chain yesterday, you're like, whoa. Right.
A-Chain has speed.
Whoa,
he's Mostert looked explosive yesterday, a couple carries. Mostert,
yes. They used this, like, they did these inside, like, fullback draws to him a couple of times. Him and Warner were going at it. It was very odd.
Former teammates, but, having fun out there. But
they have to improve team speed at linebacker.
They need team speed overall.
Yeah.
I think the team speed overall on this football team has regressed as well. You need, when I look at Detroit, and you see Jameson Williams, and you see Jameer Gibbs, then you look at Philadelphia. Even Tampa Bay with Bucky Irving, look how explosive he looks.
McMillan's quick, too.
I mean, McMillan is a player. Jalen McMillan, Tampa Bay out of Washington. All these teams have explosive. Like, we're going to watch Green Bay tonight. I'm eager to see how explosive they look offensively and defensively. The Niners need better team speed. They have to fix the trenches. But overall, and that's another issue you can add it to the list of mine. The explosiveness on the outside, the inside, whatever it is, they haven't had that all season, man.
Jacob Cowing, you can't find a way to get him on the field.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, you can't give him like a jet sweep just to give it to him and see what he can do?
I'm with you.
Like, I watched the kid Reed. I think Reed's obviously a much better player than what Cowing is currently. Right. But like, I see how Green Bay utilizes him in a similar to the Debo role. We're just gonna try to get him the ball in different spots on the field, and you're gonna have to deal with it. I don't understand why they can't get Cowing involved.
I mean, I look at this offensive line, and maybe it's because of that. Maybe they do have plays for Cowing, and they don't believe. Like, a bad offensive line will dictate how you call plays. Like, I've been watching we all see the New York Giants. We watch football.
So bad.
And the New York Giants offensive line has been terrible year in and year out. So, for example, Jalen Hurts gets hurt yesterday, and the Eagles offensive line had a struggle. They were struggling a bit there. When you have an offensive line that's getting pushed back and collapsing over and over and over again, it does change the way you have to call plays. You can't run long developing plays, pass plays, where a guy's going to go deep down the field, because you're thinking to yourself, well, my offensive line can't even hold up. And over yesterday, give Miami credit, their defense is playing better as of late. They got constant pressure. Now, quarterback's got to make plays in pressure. There's no doubt about that. Not excusing Brock Purdy for some of the missed throws he had yesterday. But this offensive line, I saw Thursday Night Football. Verse, Young, Fisk, that defensive line of the LA Rams consistently pushed the pocket back and reset the line of scrimmage. And you're not going to have a lot of success. I don't care who's playing quarterback when your offensive line is allowing the line of scrimmage to get reset over and over and over again.
Center position is like, to me, I know we make a big deal about tackle at center, man. Like, they put Burford at tackle. He actually didn't look that bad. I know he played tackle in college. He didn't look that bad there. Jake Brendel has gotten, I feel like, progressively worse.
Yeah, he's...
There were three occasions where there's a highlight play, and Purdy is either running for his life, and Brendel is just looking back, guarding no one, right. Or Brendel picks the wrong guy to double-team. It's just over and over and over. The free release stuff is just killing them at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, they can't defend a stunt. Whenever a team stunts on them up front, damn. You look around, you're like, whoa, what's going on here? Well, they can't, a simple stunt, they can't even block that up. So right now they're struggling, and, you know, I think there's no doubt they missed Trent Williams. I know Trent Williams wasn't having the strongest season, but also when Trent Williams was playing, it felt like they were a lot more functional offensively. I don't know. It's just, you know, at the end of the day, it's a lost year. It is a lost year. And as I said at the top of the show, if you had to go out there 5 years from now and explain to somebody what the 2024 49ers were like, you pop in the tape from yesterday and just say, watch this game. That will tell you the entire story of the entire season. Well, you got some good from Brock. You got some bad from Brock. You got some good from Debo. You didn't get enough from Debo. You got some good from George Kittle. Wish you got more from George Kittle. Defensively, you can stop the run. Oh, wow, you can't get off the field on third down. Well, Jake Moody, 9-19 on kicks from over 40 yards. I mean, it's special teams penalties. That was one of the sloppier games. We didn't even talk about the 15-yard penalties they incurred yesterday. I mean, the Niners were a mess. They were lucky to be in that game, 22-17. Lucky.
I don't know if this is like a Super Bowl hangover, because like a hangover would mean that you bounce right back the next year. I think it was going to take a couple years to like figure it out. I just worry, like, some teams never get over losing in the Super Bowl, and they never get back to where they were, but either because of age, psyche, combination of factors, whatever. Like, if it's a hangover and they bounce back, great, and it is an outlier, I don't know. I think they have an uphill road, though. It's just so difficult. The league is so hit and miss year to year. You just never know. Like, I had no idea the Vikings were going to do what they're doing right now. Moving off Kirk and drafting a quarterback and Darnold hitting the way he did and that defense being as elite as they've been. Whew, they're impressive. But I don't know, are they a one-year wonder? Are they a team that's going to be a force to be reckoned with? No clue.
That, I look at it like
no
this.
Clue. No clue.
That gives me hope for the 49ers to know that a team could turn it around and have a down year, not make the Super Bowl. Like, Philadelphia was in a fog last year. They started 10-1. They were winning games, and then they fell off the cliff. And they get bounced in the first round of the playoffs and take a long off season, get some things done, and now look at them. Battling for home field advantage. Same thing with Detroit. Detroit could have had it a hangover about the way they lost, on how they lost that Super Bowl or NFC Championship game. They were up 24-7. It's one of the biggest collapses in championship game history. They bounced back in a major way and let that fuel them. So I think as a professional, especially with these pros that the Niners have, this will fuel them to get back to where they were a season ago. Whether that gets them to the Super Bowl or a deep playoff run, I do believe the Niners are built to turn this thing around right away, especially with some of the leaders they have in that locker room. So I'm not as concerned about next season in terms of, like, what is it going to look like? That's all going to play itself out. Now, they can go out there and whiff on the draft and sign nobody, then we have a bigger problem.
Yeah.
But I got faith in this organization and this regime that they will do whatever they have to do to try to win football games next year.
It just, the hard part is, like, they have money invested and spots invested into two guys that had career years in CMC and Brandon Ayuk, and I just got no clue if they'll ever come close to that production.
Yep.
Because they're bodies. Like, yep. And you've got it baked into the salary cap, but like, can you rely on them? I don't know.
We'll see. 888-957-9570 is a number. Quick thoughts on the NCAA playoff.
I thought it was fun. I tuned into the Notre Dame game, and they went up early and kind of never looked back, and I thought the atmosphere was awesome. I thought it was really cool. They did this whole montage walking into to the stadium.
That was pretty cool.
I love Freeman as a coach. You know, he got the boys going back to church on Fridays before games, and I don't know. I'm all about it. And look, for Indiana, I know everyone's like, Indiana didn't belong, and Sure, okay, but I've watched a lot of blowouts in these playoff games. A lot of them. I'm talking about the 14 playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt.
I watched TCU get to the championship right. and get blown out.
Georgia blew out Michigan in the Orange Bowl one
year.
Saying.
Like, yeah. This happened. Good for Indiana to get that far. I don't think that they should have been the team representing them, but that's their high water mark as a football program the last 40 years, and I think that was a fun event.
Yeah, SMU and the quarterback looked overwhelmed. Jennings just pick six, was indecisive on the 4th-and-1 Pitt State advances. I love the format. I think it'll get better. I think we'll
should
see more upsets. Huh?
Should they reseed, maybe?
Because
the NFL reseeds, meaning if you're the top seed, you play whoever the lowest is out there. They have a more bracket style.
Yeah.
Where it's locked in.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind that getting tweaked. Honestly.
I mean, it's going to be Oregon, Ohio State in the second round, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I like that.
Is that one that should, feels like it should be later in the tournament? Or?
But I hated the all-red jerseys from Ohio State. I
kind of liked it.
Did you like it?
I kind of liked it.
Okay.
They needed something to do. They needed something. By the way, Tennessee, the biggest front-running program.
I was pulling for Tennessee.
Those guys, the linemen walked out with no shirts on to try to prove that they could play in the cold. And next thing you know,
they were down.
They're down 21-0.
Yeah.
So
I just don't like Ryan Day.
I think Ohio State's going to beat Oregon.
I don't think
Oregon.
A lot of people at Ohio State like Ryan Day.
Hey, I think Ohio State's going to beat Oregon, though. I see them winning that World
I like
Bowl.
Gabriel. I know no one does.
I like Gabriel, too, and I don't think it's an indictment on Oregon. Ohio State has really good talent, man.
Bro, they're loaded.
They're loaded.
Who's that 33?
The linebacker?
He looks like he should be drug tested immediately.
I think Ohio State's coming to Pasadena. I think they're going to beat Oregon. I don't know. That's my feeling. If you get Penn State, Boise State, you
That'll
get Georgia, Notre Dame. Georgia, Notre Dame. And Notre Dame right now is only, or Georgia's only a point and a half favorite.
Well, who's their quarterback?
Might be the guy, Gunnar Stockton, the backup, played against Texas.
I was so out on, was it Carson Beck?
Carson Beck.
Yeah,
he's not. He lost a lot of money this year. He lost a lot of money. And then you get
watch him hit the transfer portal.
I think Texas is going to
everyone's in the transfer portal.
I think Texas is going to steamroll Arizona State.
I like the transfer portal.
I do like the transfer portal. 60 seconds to celebrity. Are we ready? Are we ready for that?
It's time for 60 Seconds of Celebrini.
Celebrini exchanges. Shoot, star!
Where we recap all the great things Sharks phenom Macklin Celebrini did last night.
Wouldn't you know it, the number one overall draft pick, Macklin Celebrini.
Your 60 Seconds of Celebrini starts now.
Yeah, so over the weekend, the Sharks went up north to Edmonton to take on the defending Western Conference champs in the Edmonton Oilers. And after trading a pair of first-period goals, Macklin Celebrini helped set up Jan Ruda for this goal to give the Sharks a 2-1 lead in the first period.
Here's Wallman back in. Delay penalty coming. Wallman for Ruda. Fires and scores! Jan Ruda! And the Sharks are back in front 2-1.
Randy Hahn with the call there for NBC Sports California. And guys, the Sharks were so close to eking this win out against the Oilers up there. But with just 18 seconds left, they showed why they won the West last year. They got a goal from Matthias Ekholm with a little bit of help from Connor McDavid to tie it up with 18 seconds left. And then it took 18 seconds into overtime for the Oilers to win it. And that was Leon Draisaitl who called game on that one. Sharks fall to the Oilers 3-2. Celebrity does get the assist. Also saw the debut of Yaroslav Askarov, the young 22-year-old Russian goalie, stopped 41 of 44 shots in his season debut with the Sharks. Pretty impressive there for the kid, but unfortunately, all for naught. Well, the Sharks do get a point, but, you know, get the loss instead. And that's your 6 seconds to Celebrini.
There it is. Sharky's playing better. Oh, that game was on in the newsroom Saturday. They're up 2-1, and they're getting ready for the post game. It's like, we got to win. Tie. And then before you even settled in overtime, game over.
You could feel when they went empty net there, they had Draisaitl and McDavid on the ice. You're on pins and needles that whole time. You got a young goalie, and that's why they're the best in the Sharks. They're still trying to figure out how to close games. But they got a point out of it, so.
They're competitive. They're rebuilding. They'll get a high draft pick next season. Sharks will be back.
And again, your young goalie stopped 41 shots against one of the best teams in the NHL.
Exactly.
I'll take that.
A lot to build on with the San Jose Sharkies. A lot to build on. Well, not the Warriors. We got Pacers tonight at home. They're coming off the back. They're going to be playing on the back end of a back-to-back. Warriors have the cross-country flight.
You know what's going to
happen.
What's going
to happen?
Miles Turner will do something.
And then Warrior fans will say, we want Miles Turner.
You know that's coming.
He's 7-9 last night, 15.6 rebounds against, no, it's the other guy too, Pascal Siakam. Pascal Siakam talk.
Draymond didn't play the other night.
He did not play the other night. Ankle soreness.
Yeah.
Ankle soreness. That's his third game he's missed.
He's played way more than I thought.
How's the prime rib in the balance?
Well, you know,
let's go day day take care of those ankles.
Did you watch his podcast this week?
I did not.
The most recent edition.
No.
He was talking about how the offense, he keeps finding himself, because they're doing different wrinkles to the offense,
yep,
in the corner. And he doesn't like being in the corner because he's not used to it.
Right.
And he was talking about how, like, getting comfortable for the corner threes and stuff. It was very fascinating. It was kind of like all this rhetoric about how the offense doesn't evolve, and yet Draymond's telling you there are some wrinkles, and people just—it's not what people want.
No, people don't listen. No, it's not. They know more than the guys who are actually in the room, diagramming the offense and running the plays. But that's the society we're in right now. But the Warriors are going to win. I thought Podziemski had one of his better games
absolutely
of the season. I thought Kuminga was solid. Andrew Wiggins offensively didn't have it, but defensively, I thought he guarded his ass off against Anthony Edwards. Andrew Wiggins is having a good year, really good year. Steph in the fourth quarter, there's no doubt. But what a bizarre game. You had to delay right off the top for like 28
that?
Minutes. You had to delay. They had to take the net down twice. It was so strange. And then you had the courtside fans spill something on the floor. You had the T-Wolves. They made Nikhil Walker-Alexander made a three with 1:16 left in the first quarter. They didn't score again until there was 5:38 left in the first half. And yet they still won the second quarter. So who's this? They go on a scoreless drought for 7 minutes and 38 seconds. The Warriors can't do anything offensively in the third quarter. And then crunch time comes out. And you're like, oh, no, it's 92-92. They're going to lose this game. And they find a way to win by 10. So it was just a strange, strange game on the way to a win.
Final five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
What did you make of Kyle Anderson and TJD? Obviously, TJD started playing before Kuminga. Or it had nothing to do with nothing.
Kyle Anderson got his first start with the Warriors, and TJD started for the first time since, I believe, November 30th. Could have been November 30th. Maybe 14th, no, 30th. Anyway, I didn't make a big deal about it. I want to see Kuminga get 30 minutes a game. Obviously, Steve Kerr's going to go with the right combinations and the right, you know, he's going to. I like Kuminga with Buddy Hill coming off that bench next to Schroeder as a second unit point guard. But Steve Kerr mentioning some things about young players shooting the ball early in the shot clock, not passing the round. And then the internet detectives went out there and put a video out on Kuminga. So then Kuminga has a social media post today where everybody's like questioning whether or not he's saying deuces. I'm out. I don't know what's going to happen here, but the Warriors are going to be active, and we'll see what happens. I didn't make a big deal about that, though. I was just the first five stuff, you know me about
I know,
that.
I'm just curious.
To me, I look at the end of the day and say, how many minutes does he play?
I think if they want to go somewhere, they do have to find a role for Kyle Anderson, because I do think he's useful. I just don't know what that role is and how much of a role that is.
My final thought is, guys, see the Red Sox got Walker Buehler 1 year, $21 million. Because that was that came through this morning. I like that deal for him. I would have liked the Giants to have been on Walker Buehler, just like a, hey, let's see what you got, 1 year, prove it deal. But I like that move for the Red Sox. Would like to see the Giants make it. As we still sit here and twiddle our thumbs waiting for that inevitable Corbin Burns signing that is definitely going to happen and definitely not going to end a disappointment for us.
Yeah, speak it into existence.
Corbin Burns will be a Giant. It's going to happen. I'm going to keep saying it until it happens.
Risotto, what you got?
I got something. I don't know how this got overlooked, but last week, a federal judge in Tennessee granted an injunction to Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia, allowing him to pursue another year of NCAA eligibility. So that means that a college athlete's time in junior college no longer counts towards his overall years of NCAA eligibility.
I like that.
Oh, yeah, so you could be 25 years old playing college football.
Yeah, so that changes the entire player development for a lot of professional sports leagues. So I mean,
that's actually good for the JC programs.
Yeah, and also shout out Ricky Henderson, one of the best offensive forces in the game. The name of the game in offense in baseball is scoring runs, and nobody scored more runs than Ricky. So Just a legend, Bay Area legend, and I thought what you guys said about him was really great.
Yeah, Ricky, rest in peace. Rest in peace, Ricky Henderson. What is my final thought? I have my final thought, and I just thought, oh, football. Football's amazing.
You lost like the final next, thought, like this, I lost this, my iPod.
This next week, you lost your iPod?
My earbuds. I don't know where they're
at. Oh, boy.
I'm kind of losing my mind right
boy.
Now.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, you could be like me. I didn't explain this one. My final thought is, I still have an Apple Watch. It's just at the Orange County Airport in the lost and found.
What?
They're holding on to it for you?
The next morning at the Dallas South State Championship game, I had an early flight to get back up to the Bay Area.
You were charging it?
No, I was. So I was disheveled because I woke up and I looked at the clock and I said, oh, bleep, my plane is boarding right now. No. So I packed everything, rushed everything. I got to the airport on time. Got through the metal detector, went through TSA pre-check. Nobody was in line. And this airport is so small, but I left it in a little bowl thingy that they give you to put all your stuff in there. So then I get off the plane, and the guy, I forget his name, but he goes, Bonte Hill, what's up, man? I heard your name over the loudspeaker. I was like, what are you talking about? Was I late or something? Because, no, something about an Apple Watch.
Oh, my God.
And I started checking my pockets, and I saw that it was at the Santa Ana airport. So that's
my
final
thought. Can they fly it up?
No, I think I have to get a Task Rabbit to maybe mail it to me or...
Airlift the King's Watch.
Yeah, maybe I'll just fly to L.A. fly right back.
For the watch.
For the watch, sorry. Anyway, that was Fast 5. Brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Have a great day, everybody.